Netball stormed into our conscience for the first time in a long while last April as England claimed a sensational Commonwealth Games gold medal out in Australia. They now have the opportunity to increase their legacy even further by winning their first ever World Cup on home soil as they grace Liverpool's Echo Arena between the 12th to 21st of July as England hosts the tournament for the first time since 1995. But a number of other nations will be hoping to thwart them in their tracks, including the current number one outfit in the world and reigning world champions Australia, also known as the Diamonds, and four-time World Cup winners New Zealand, also known as the Silver Ferns. In this Sports Bill special, we get an in-depth look into these two teams as we chat to Diamonds defender Joe Weston and their vice-captain Liz Watson before also speaking to Silver Ferns star Shannon Saunders. In wide-ranging interviews, we chat everything from supergrands to walnut farms, overcoming skin cancer, inspiring the next generation, and the ultimate aim of winning the 2019 Vitality Netball World Cup. Welcome back, listeners, and with the 2019 Vitality Netball World Cup just days away, we at Sportsbill are giving you an in-depth insight into some of the teams you can watch this summer, and now it's time to focus on the reigning world champions Australia. For the first interview of this episode, we're delighted to be joined by the Diamonds defender Joe Weston. So first of all, Joe, welcome to the show and thank you for coming on.
No, thanks for having me.
So you've been over for in England for a few days now, played a couple of warm-up games. How's everything going for you and the team?
Yeah, it's been really great so far. I mean, we've been to Manchester a couple of times previously on tours and camps, but it's nice to come back in the summertime. So I think the endless sunshine is helping us adjust to the time zone pretty well, and our other practice games have gone pretty well.
As you said, you mentioned the weather there, you've certainly come over at a great time. And what's the vibe like in the northwest of the country? Are a lot of people talking about the tournament? Is there a lot of buzz around it, or is that still yet to kick off?
Yeah, I think once we get to Liverpool, there'll be quite a little bit of public interest. I think we've potentially been overshadowed by the cricket here in Manchester. But yeah, we've still seen a really great turnout to our practice matches here. And yeah, I mean, when you wear a uniform in public, it's always going to raise a few eyebrows. So, yes.
And you mentioned the Ashes there. That is one of our sporting flagship events this summer. But this World Cup over here anyway is billed as being the other sporting flagship event in England. What's the view of it out in Australia? Has it attracted a lot of media attention out there as well?
Yeah, most definitely. I think the profile of netball in Australia has risen dramatically pretty much since the last World Cup that was held in Sydney in 2015. So, yeah, there's a lot of interest. I mean, we've got lots of Australian teams in competition. We had the Matildas at the World Cup, and now both our women and men's cricket teams over here in the UK. And we also have a Rugby World Cup later in the year. So I think it's been a big year, full stop, for representative teams. So we're just, I guess, delighted to be a part of that broader Australian sporting landscape too.
And you mentioned those cricketers and rugby players and the Matildas there. A lot of success. Also Ash Barty as well in the tennis, smashing the French Open, smashing things at Wimbledon. I guess that must give you guys an extra incentive to emulate their achievements and also make your country just as proud of you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I am a big tennis fan and I played it pretty competitively when I was growing up, so I really respect Ash Barty and I think it's phenomenal what she's been able to achieve and just her maturity at what is a pretty much young age. So, yeah, I mean, it's an amazing time as well, I guess, for us to be able to watch things like that because we don't have to be waking up in the middle of the night to try and watch Ash Barty on our way to world domination.
And the Yawn Games itself, most of them are on at quite nice times for people in Australia, all of them being shown on Channel 9. How important is it to have all your games so easily accessible for people back home?
Yeah, I mean, the time zone was always going to be a little bit of an issue for us, but the availability of the games on free-to-air has been a really big step up. I think it means that not just the people who don't have access to pay TV, but even just the general public who are flicking through channels when they're watching. I think it can raise interest in a variety of different ways. So, yeah, we're really happy to have the support of Channel 9 behind our sport back home in Australia.
And you're going to be playing in front of millions of fans on Sky Sports and the BBC over here as well. We're having a really big push over in this country at the moment, especially this summer, about growing women's sport, putting them on the same level as the men. Is that something that is being seen worldwide and not just in this country?
Yeah, I mean, Australia, especially where I live in Melbourne, it's a pretty crowded sports market, and they're seeing the introduction of a variety of women's games, what have been traditionally men's sports. So for us, there's lots of women's sport now, which is coming on free to air, and it's sort of available year-round, which is really great to see. I think you just have to have women's sport in the public eye. So what comes first, chicken and egg? And netball probably has been the one that's raised the interest the hard way, and now is hopefully seeking the rewards of that with free-to-air coverage and broadcast agreements.
And one of the way in getting coverage is to host sort of major events in your home country, which you guys did in 2015 and you did last year at the Commonwealth Games. Obviously, the final had a massive boost on the sport's popularity over here. None of us really knew the netballers before. Now everyone knows who they are. But how much of an impact did it for you guys to play at a multi-sport event at home?
Yeah, last year at the Commonwealth Games was phenomenal. I mean, the Gold Coast is pretty much a picturesque jewel of the Australian landscape. I live in dreary Melbourne, so it's miles away, really, comparatively. But yeah, it was a really great atmosphere, I think. Like previously, we'd held the Sydney Olympics, and that was really, really successful as well. So I guess, I mean, it draws general interest, but I personally feel like it's just the ongoing effects of, you know, all the infrastructure that gets built for the generations to come to have access to the stadiums and venues to play at and all those things that come with major sporting tournaments.
The result in the final didn't go the way you want, but now you have the chance to exact revenge over here in very much the same way this time. How much of an extra incentive is that for you?
Yeah, I mean, we were disappointed with what happened at the Commonwealth Games last year, but I guess we've sort of put that behind us as a collective team, and yeah, we're looking forward to just becoming a part of the tournament. Unsure where the semi or final matchups will end up being, but at this stage we're just focusing on us, and yeah, I guess the England are in their home country, so they're, you know, they've got the big crowd behind them and they're playing at all the peak times, so that's a factor too.
It's not just England on Australia, though. You've got New Zealand, Jamaica, you've got teams like South Africa and Scotland hoping to cause upsets. For someone who maybe hasn't watched so much netball before, how exciting is this tournament going to be in terms of really close games between teams?
Yeah, I think the standard of netball collectively has improved. I guess that's with a lot of international players coming and playing down under in what is a really high-performance training environment that's been set up by Netball Australia and all of the clubs. So I think the sport globally is benefiting from the work that they have really put in to do the Suncorp Super Netball League, which we are all very lucky to be a part of. Yeah, I mean, so we don't play a lot of test matches against even we don't play against Jamaica all that frequently. So I guess it can cause a little bit of concern when you're not playing against opposition regularly, but we know what our plans are going into those games.
Of course, you don't necessarily play against them internationally regularly, but a lot of the players you come up against in your league over in Australia. How important is that league specifically for growing the game? Because it is seen as the world's sort of leading domestic netball league.
Yeah, I guess it gives players exposure at what is a higher level of competition. That means we get to come up against international opponents pretty frequently, especially probably for me in the role I play defensively. The majority of the imports are in the shooting circles. So, yeah, it means it's good practice for me, I guess, for where I stand in international selection.
Are there any players in this tournament that you're really sort of relishing coming up against? You know it's going to be a good battle for you.
The New Zealand shooting circle will be quite interesting. Obviously, I play against Helen and Joe pretty regularly back home, and I haven't really had a chance to step out against Bailey Mez, especially, and Sylvie Rickett and Amelia Ram, because only Maria plays domestically within Australia. So, yeah, that'll be good.
Cool. And I guess, first of all, we should have said congratulations on selection for the World Cup. How did it feel when you got the call?
Yeah, I was a little bit nervous, actually. Now, I think I was the last one to find out via phone call. So, yeah, I was was barely able to swipe to answer the phone call. But, yeah, I think I was just so over the moon, very exciting, like a little bit of, like, relief as well. I guess selection is such a stressful time period, so you build up a lot of possible situations in your head. So to be one of the lucky few that were selected, you sort of breathe a bit of a deep sigh. Oh, I guess it's I get a chance this time. So yeah, still feels a little bit surreal.
I can certainly imagine. And were you able to sort of tell friends and family straight away, or did you have to wait until the public announcement was made?
No, there was about a 48-hour time window where we weren't allowed to say really anything. That's just due to Netball Australia's internal procedures. So, but after that, everyone knew, and all my family and friends were very excited.
I can imagine. And what do you do in sort of those 48 hours? I guess, did you have people asking you, or was it just a case of just trying to keep your head down?
Yeah, I sort of hadn't alluded to the fact that we were finding out before. I mean, obviously the time stamp when the public finds out is publicised. So I just sort of said we were already finding out briefly before that rather than a couple of days prior, which is a little white lie, but I think says a little bit of awkwardness.
Yeah, that's fair enough entirely. And going back to something we sort of were talking about earlier, it's noticeable how, you know, women's sport is growing, but it's also noticeable how actually so many female athletes are multifaceted and have so many different skill sets. And you're a fantastic example of this. You're not just a professional netballer, but you also work for Deloitte as well in Australia. And how important do you find it to have sort of work outside of netball in terms of that life balance?
Yeah, I guess the landscape that we're sort of operating in as athletes has probably changed a little bit since I began with the Vixen. So I guess having a job outside playing when I initially was selected into the team was by pure necessity. Like, we weren't being paid very little, like very much at all. It was not enough to live off, not enough to get by off. So for me, I mean, going to university was always what I had anticipated doing. I think my netball career sort of caught me off guard with the general trajectory of it. But I guess in my family, going to university and sort of working your way in terms of that had always been sort of the norm and what had been, I guess, the expectation. And I liked school and I was good at school. So for me, those, it seems like the normal path to take. And now I guess trying to manage it alongside everything was pretty difficult, even when I was still studying. But yeah, I loved working. I think it's been really great in terms of just broadening my horizons. You meet so many different people, and once you sort of get involved in sport, I think the circle of people you meet, obviously majority of them are involved in sport in some degree, whether even if they're working for a sponsor, they still have their foot in the door. But for me, it was just completely different. It's sort of a real completely objective environment where I can just go and talk about whatever I want and not have to worry about that pressure of being an athlete all the time.
And another way in which you do some great work outside of netball as well is you're also an ambassador for Sports Environment Alliance. I guess sort of could you tell us a little bit more about how you got involved in that and what you do with them?
Well, it came around about again. I met Sheila Nguyen, who is sort of the head of it, based in Australia, a couple of years ago through the sports agency I'm with. And that's always, I guess, sustainability has always been something that my family has been very interested in. My dad's family comes from country Victoria. We're from up in the Alps, and we have a walnut farm up there, and we have a few, we have some sheep, we have some goats as well, and it's all very sort of sustainably, I mean, ideally we would like to be off-grid, but unfortunately in that part of Australia it's sort of unfeasible. So it's always been something that I've been generally quite interested in and quite topical. So yeah, I guess seeing how a large impact sport can have, I guess, with a large number of people, and how to make sporting events, you know, like less wasteful in terms of just one-use products and all those sorts of things has been something we've sort of been focusing on, where I think I can probably have the most involvement because that's what I do on a regular week-in, week-out basis. So, yeah, it's been really good.
And you mentioned there about how sport can help save the planet. Is that some, because we often see and talk about how sport can address so many issues, especially sort of regarding race and gender, but environment as well, is there, you think there's something that sport can play a massive part in?
I just think it's great to have such a wide audience to try and reach. I think it's just setting an example as well. Like, if we have really large events where they're not serving things in one-use cups and all those sorts of things. We have a few events back home in Melbourne where you just pay a deposit on a cup and you return it at the end of the day and they wash them and reuse them, which I think is really great. Yeah, I think it's a way that we can continue to move forward without, you know, leaving our earth in ruins.
And you mentioned previously about your dad's farm and stuff, and I read while preparing for this interview that you're quite a skilled baker. So is this something that you're going to be treating your teammates to throughout the tournament?
I did make an apple crumble a couple of days ago, actually, when we had a team dinner. So yeah, my cooking skills will leave a little bit to the imagination, but I do like to think I'm quite a competent baker. I'm just really edging for that spot in the great British Bake Off at one stage. But yeah, that farm to table sort of mentality is something I'm really interested in and I think is really great.
And you also come across, I've sort of been going through your social media profiles and previous media appearances, you come across as a really sort of fun, quirky, interesting personality, and like you come across so well off the pitch. And is that something that sort of has become a role in the team, or is that just something that you just naturally like that?
I don't know. I think it's a combination of the two. I've always been a little bit odd and probably, I guess, interested in things which are like somewhat atypical of athletes. And then, I don't know, I've always been somewhat gregarious too. So my mum always used to say there's no show without Joe. I think it comes from somewhat of a dancing background, just wanting to be the star. I think my teammates sometimes get a little bit annoyed about it, but I guess they put up with it. I'll try and turn it down a little bit occasionally.
And how important is it for a tournament like this, where it's very intense for a fairly longish period of time, to have different personalities in the squad to get you sort of through different situations that you're going to come across?
I guess that's something that's really important about being a part of a tight-knit team and knowing your teammates on and off the court. Like, I know some people like to spend a bit more time alone than others. Some people I really like to read. Some people really like to watch Netflix. Some people really like to do puzzles in terms of just trying to keep themselves occupied. So we all know each other's idiosyncrasies in that regard and are pretty respectful, which I think makes us operate as a really good team.
And finally, just to round off the interview, I know we're really excited on Sportsbill about the tournament. I know you guys are as well. But for fans who maybe are still thinking about whether they should or shouldn't buy a ticket or watch on the TV, what would your message be to them?
I know the World Cup only comes around every 4 years, and this one I think is going to be the closest we've ever seen. So I wouldn't miss it if I was them.
Perfect message. Thank you, Jo, for coming on. You've been really, really fun to chat to, and we wish you all the best for the tournament.
Thank you.
You're listening to Sportsbill, available on Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, listeners, to the second part of our Netball World Cup special here on Sportsbill. And while our focus still remains on Australia, now we switch to Joe's teammates, both internationally and on the club scene, as we welcome Liz Watson to the show. So first of all, Liz, thank you so much for giving up some free time to chat with us. And yeah, it's great to speak to you.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
We're just 2 days away now as we speak from the opening game of what is being regarded as one of the biggest Netball World Cups ever. How are you and the squad feeling ahead of it?
Yeah, really good. We actually arrived in Liverpool yesterday, so we've had a bit of a training camp in Manchester. So we actually just got back from a venue visit, which it looks absolutely amazing. And just to see it all kind of fall into place, I think it started to feel very real now. But we've got a couple more training sessions and then first game for us on Friday, so yeah, really excited. I think
what's the atmosphere like in the Northwest, and specifically now you're there, Liverpool? Is there a lot of recognition of you guys sort of in the street?
I guess a little bit. If we walk around in our uniform, we kind of stand out a little bit. But yeah, England is also staying at the same hotel as us, so there is a bit of interest around netball here. But yeah, I think for us, we were at the same hotel in January, so we kind of know our bearings and, you know, the good coffee shops and all that around the area. So gone back to a few of our local favourites and gone to say hey again.
And you mentioned there you came over in January. It must be nicer now to sort of come over in the summertime when the sun's shining.
It is, but this is an interesting summer compared to the summer that we have back home in Australia. But it is nice walking out, not in our big puffer jackets, and really enjoyed a little bit of sunshine. Hopefully we get a bit more.
It's been an exceptionally long build-up to the tournament. I know over here it's pretty much all we've spoken about since the Commonwealth Games. A bit sort of you as athletes are just chomping at the bit to get going now.
Yeah, I guess for us it hasn't really felt so real until we've been here. We are in the middle of our SSM competition, so we finished off that round 9 for us and went straight into a camp in Sydney, which started to feel a little bit more real, but now that we're actually over here and just seeing the hype and just walking the streets and seeing a few billboards and banners and people getting around the netball, I think it definitely does feel like very real. And, you know, it's a massive build-up. Even back home, in terms of our farewell function that we had in Sydney with past players sending us off, and that was really nice, I guess, a little gesture for us heading overseas.
What's the attitude in Australia been towards the tournament? I know over here it's alongside the cricket world, the Men's Cricket World Cup, it's been seen as our flagship event. Is that sort of something that's been seen in Australia as well? This is one of the big sporting events of your winter, effectively.
Yeah, and I think, especially for netball, I would say it's probably the biggest event that we participate in is our World Cup, and I probably haven't realised how big it actually is until I was, you know, have been in it, and now it's my first World Cup. But I guess being back home and hearing the stories of past players and just the hype around the World Cup, you actually start to realise how big this event is. And yes, Commonwealth Games is also massive for netball, but I feel like this is our main event. It's just netball. It's all, it's the pinnacle of our sport. So, yeah, I think there's been a lot of hype and a lot of talk, especially around our clubs as well. They've been so supportive and so encouraging in the planning for this, and I guess adapting our season right back from pre-season and planning the World Cup as part of our program for the year, knowing that we are going to have a four-week break from our competition back home for this, and how that would affect, you know, players going to the World Cup, but also our teammates back home who are still training away.
And it's been about 6 weeks since the squad was confirmed, and you, it was confirmed that you were coming over to England for the World Cup. And how did it feel for you when that sort of confirmation came through to know that you were going to be heading to your first World Cup?
Yeah, it does feel amazing. I guess it's something that you never know what's going to happen. You never know what the coach is thinking, what the selectors are thinking. But for us, we all get a phone call on selection day. We've all allocated 5 minutes, and I'm Watson, so I'm at the bottom of the list in alphabetical order. And I guess when you get that call, you know, you just want to call your closest family and friends and spread the news with them. And I think once I had done that, Mum and Dad jumped online and booked a little holiday and a trip over here too. So yeah, it's very special. I think just receiving the call, you know, wow, it's actually happening. Yeah, it's all starting to feel very real.
So are your parents coming over for the whole tournament then?
Yes, they've already been here. Oh, they've been actually in Vienna and Prague having a bit of a holiday. They're on their way to Liverpool now, I think, and then they'll travel on to Italy and somewhere else after the tournament too. So, yes, they said netball has kind of interrupted their big holiday, but yeah, they'll definitely be here supporting.
Are they the type of fans that we're going to be, the type of parents that we're going to be quite easy to spot on TV, or are they a little bit shyer than that?
I think they've all got their colours sorted, so green and gold would definitely stand out in the crowd, but they've got a little family WhatsApp group, so they keep sending photos of outfits and bright coloured yellow and green tops that they've all purchased to wear in the crowd. So, yeah, I think there'll be a decent amount of family and friends here, so they won't be easily missed.
And am I right in thinking that your gran is also a bit of a super fan and a bit of an icon back in Australia as well?
Yeah, this is my mum's mum, my nonna, the Italian heritage in us, and yeah, she absolutely loves the netball. She comes to every Vixen's home game that we have, and she always says if I can wear bright coloured shoes, it makes it easier for her to spot who we are, who I am out on court, because apparently we're all blonde and tall and all look the same. So she'll be watching back home on telly, and she'll be just looking for bright shoes. So I have to probably get some brighter ones. I'm not quite sure. My current blue ones are really going to stand out.
And how important has your family been for you in terms of your whole netball career? Because they sound incredibly supportive.
Yeah, they are. And they've, you know, I've got two brothers as well, so we do spend a lot of time. My parents spend a lot of time on weekends with sport amongst all of us. But I think, you know, they travelled over to Liverpool when I debuted for my country a few years ago. They're at every Vixens game. They try and get to away once as well. So they're just always always there supporting, but even if they can't be there, there's a text, there's a phone call, there's always that love and support there, and that goes to my extended family, my friends, my partner, everyone's just, I guess, really proud and really happy of what I'm able to achieve, and that makes me proud, and I guess to see how much it connects them and how much they love it, it makes you really want to do well for them as well.
And now, of course, you're going to do really well on the biggest stage, as you mentioned, in netball. But when you were growing up, was it ever sort of a dream to be a sort of a professional athlete and playing at the top level for your country in the sport of netball?
I guess when I was growing up, my uncle was playing AFL football back home. So that was, I guess, my first taste of professional sport and how awesome I thought that was and what he got to do. And I guess as I got older, I didn't start netball until I was probably 12, 13, a bit older. So I didn't really think of taking netball, as far as I can. I kind of just did and just kind of got involved in different sports and different competitions and then fell into netball and then I just loved it. And I think I don't really like to think too far ahead. I can't plan what I'm having for lunch, let alone the next week. So, it kind of all happens and I probably really won't realise until I retire of all the things that I have been able to achieve, the places that I've gone, people that I've met. It's a pretty special thing to be able to say that this is, I guess, what I get to do every single day.
And you mentioned there sort of stuff that you've achieved, and obviously with Australia being such a dominant force on the international stage, winning a lot of trophies, but also you've won a lot of individual accolades over the years as well. I guess that must be something you take great pride in.
Yeah, and I think I've been so lucky to have grown up in Victoria. I think it's such a good netball state. I definitely credit the Netball Victoria pathway to my success and what I have been able to achieve. And I think right from my junior days, we get instilled in us that success and winning and all that is definitely part of the Victorian culture. So you get this competitive nature right from the very start. And I think having been able to train and play against probably some of the best netballers in the world, it definitely makes you a better player. And I've always said that I play better when you're playing against quality opposition. I've definitely enjoyed that.
And 4 years ago, if I'm right in thinking, you were part of the camp sort of leading up into the World Cup held back in Sydney. And how much of an experience was that for you, getting to play with some of the best players in the world at such a young age?
Yeah, that was probably my second year into the Diamonds environment. I hadn't debuted yet. I was just part of the extended training squad. And I think just to see not just how the girls perform on court, but just all the things that happen off court and how you need to prepare and, the meetings and the preparation and everything, I guess, that comes along being a professional netballer was very eye-opening for me. And I think it's just such... It was such a bonus for me to have that at such a young age in my career to really, I guess, inspire me and give me that determination to say, I want to do this too. I'm on the brink of it. How can I actually get into the team or into the squad? So, yeah, I'm very lucky to have exposure to that when I first started out in my career.
And as you mentioned there's a lot more than just actually playing to being a professional athlete, and that includes media interviews like you're doing with myself now, but also a lot of school appearances and club appearances, and the players are often portrayed as role models. How is that something that you find sort of really important and you take great pride in as well as your playing?
Absolutely. I love going out to the schools in particular. I am also studying to be a primary school teacher, so I definitely love going out to see the kids and I guess just share the knowledge and all my experiences with them and hopefully inspire them to either take up netball or continue playing netball or just sport in general. I think it's something that you can see we're slowly losing sport with our young kids, so just to have that opportunity to use my netball and what I've done and the place that I've gone and just different stories to share with them and hopefully inspire them to take up the sport. I think it's so important that we definitely give back and share what we've learned and encourage them to, I guess, have their own opportunities and their own stories.
And I guess with such a push worldwide around growing equality of women's sport and putting you guys up on the pedestal you deserve, it must be great to know that there are going to be young girls and young boys coming through now who are looking up to you as a woman, as an idol.
Yeah, I think it's a bit surreal, actually. You kind of just... I feel like I'm just me, just doing what I love, which is playing netball, and just happen to be able to do it for my country, which is so special. So I guess, to see the excitement and the joy on kids' faces when they, you know, have one little interaction with you. You could be having the worst day or the worst game, or you're just feeling a bit flat and tired. You know, to them, that doesn't matter. They just want to say hey and give you a high five. So it just really, I guess, brings you back down to earth and what's real, and I guess, yeah, keeps you grounded.
And you mentioned there that you're also studying as a primary education teacher. Do you ever, sort of, yeah, when you go into the classroom, get children recognising who you are, or do you go in just as Miss Watson rather than the netballer?
I actually tried to hide on a placement and not let them know that I was a netballer, but there was a few young netball girls in the grade one class who came up with some Vixen posters, so once they had their poster signed, they kind of spread the word around the school. But, yeah, I'm probably more of a teacher in that sense, but there are a few little loving netball fans who just recognise you, and, you know, that's a good thing as well.
And when they do recognise you, does that make them harder to teach, or are they actually more likely to listen to you?
They're probably more likely to listen to me. They probably get a different view on me as well if they're misbehaving, but it's probably just, I guess, good for them to see that I'm not just a netballer. I have other things in my life and do other things, and yeah, so I definitely have their attention at the start. It's just how long I can keep it for.
And it's not just children who are mischievous as well. As I mentioned to you previously, we spoke to Jo Weston the other day, and she admitted she's somewhat of a character in and around the dressing room. What's she like to be a teammate with?
She's highly intelligent, and some of her jokes just go way over all of our heads because we have no idea what she's talking about. But yeah, I played with Jo since we were actually 12 years old in our first 15 in our first Victorian state team back home. So I've known Jo for a long time, and I think she's just someone who's so competitive, probably the most competitive person that I know. But at the same time, she'll love to have a dance, and I guess be the centre of that, centre of attention, and all jokes are on her. So no, she's a really good sport.
And I guess that sort of personality must be great for the team as well when things are slightly tough and you sort of need a little pick-me-up.
Oh, absolutely, especially when we are, I guess, travelling and on the road to get together for a long time. I think being away, it's probably going to be close to 3 weeks that we're in each other's pockets, and I think it's nice to have that little bit of break and, I guess, non-netball talk or that laugh, and, yeah, it keeps you sane, and, she's definitely one that we turn to for a laugh.
Coming into this tournament as well, you say 3 weeks in each other's pockets, the sort of ideal for you is to go back home with that World Cup trophy. And I read a piece earlier today where it said it feels for you guys as though you're coming into this tournament as underdogs, just being ranked sort of one in the world. Is that actually something you think is going to work to your advantage?
I think we're going in, obviously, ranked number one. We've got such a strong history and success of success at World Cups. But I guess, you know, we're not on our home territory. I think it's nice that we can just go in there and just do our thing and play our best netball. I guess there is a lot of hype around England, obviously, because they're here and because, you know, the last major event at the Commonwealth Games, they were the winners. So a lot of talk is around them. But I think if you think about New Zealand, South Africa, Jamaica, they're all such quality teams. So, yeah, I think the pressure and the expectations is kind of spread amongst five or six teams at this tournament in particular. So, I think just knowing that we can go in there and do our thing and hopefully come home with that gold.
And you mentioning England there, Jeeva Mentor, who is someone I believe you know very well, said in an interview last week that the perfect final would be for her would be England-Australia, as obviously that's looking a long way ahead and a lot could happen. But is that something sort of you guys would really relish?
Oh, I think to get to the final, I don't care who we're playing. We just want to be in that final and win that final. So, yeah, like I said, it could be England, it could be New Zealand, it could be South Africa. There are so many right up there, and we just got to worry about getting our spot into that final before we think about, you know, the opposition. It's a very tough draw, so we just got to make sure that we have that spot, and then whoever we play, we prepare and know that we can beat them.
And to round off the interview, obviously there's a lot of netball hype in this country at the moment. A lot of people are going to be watching and attending. But for those at home who may be still a little bit unsure about whether or not to buy a ticket or watch on TV, so what would your message to them be?
Oh, I think to hear an Aussie voice or know that we've got the support back home goes such a long way for us. We we're out here, you know, playing for our country. So any little support that we have, it definitely doesn't go unnoticed. And I think as players, that's what we do. We want to inspire our country, the next generation, and I guess people who have played netball or don't know about netball or just love sport in general. It's a very fierce sport, and I guess any love and support that we have is greatly appreciated from all of us.
Thank you so much for chatting, Joe. Liz, sorry. We really enjoyed speaking to you and wish you all the very best for the tournament.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Cheers. Will.
Thanks, you.
You're listening to Sportspiel, available on Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, listeners, to this third and final part of our Women's Netball World Cup special here on Sportspiel, where our attention now turns to New Zealand's Silver Ferns, and specifically to mid-quarter Shannon Saunders. First of all, thank you so much for coming on the show, Shannon, and great to speak to you.
Thank you.
And welcome to England and to the show. How are preparations going ahead of the tournament?
They're going really well. We've been based in Colchester, and we've had a couple of warm-up matches against Wales. Scotland, sorry. Now we're just heading to Liverpool.
And you also had a warm-up series back home as well in New Zealand. So preparations going really well. You're feeling confident and sort of match ready coming into the tournament.
Yeah, I think that series before we came over was really crucial, and it was good to play in the New Zealand men and kind of have that bit of physicality and testing ourselves against the taller shooters, which will come up against kind of with Jamaica. I think it's been really good having some court time.
And you mentioned there you played against the New Zealand men. That's quite a new thing for netball. What was it like actually playing against a completely different opposition to anything you played before?
Yeah, it was really cool. So we played them a wee bit kind of behind closed doors normally and when we're in camps. But yeah, I think it was an awesome spectacle, and I think it really kind of raised the awareness of the men's team throughout New Zealand. So I think that was really exciting.
And obviously netball is predominantly played, especially on sort of elite international scenes, by women. But do you reckon there could be scope to have sort of men's teams internationally playing against each other in the future as well?
Yeah, definitely. I think they're incredible, and they can just play the game at such speed and so aerial. And yeah, I think lots of kind of countries are starting to kind of develop their men's teams, so that would be really exciting if they could play each other.
Of course. And you mentioned there that the tournament as a whole, you're playing quite a few games in quite a few days. And that's going to be exactly the same at this upcoming World Cup. And how sort of physically demanding is that to be playing so many games in such a short space of time?
Yeah, it's hugely demanding. And I think it's really important that you kind of use your whole 12 players in your squad to kind of get you through that, because we played 4 in 4 days and that was definitely pretty tough. And then yeah, World Cup, we've got 5 in a row, and then you only get one day off to try and recover, and then you've got to go again. So, yeah, I think recovery is going to be a huge part of getting through the tournament.
And how do you prepare for something like this? Because the league system is more sort of 1 or 2 games a week. How does training differ for this compared to the league?
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of why we had that Cadbury series, so 4 games in 4 days, and then we also had a camp over in the Sunshine Coast, which we were doing 3 trainings a day for 5 days in a row. So I think we've kind of practiced that load, and I feel like everyone's coming in confident that we can withstand it and still produce good people.
One thing we noticed over here in England, obviously, with the Commonwealth Games, sort of netball's taken off, and fans who have not watched the game before have noticed just how fast and physical the game is. How much has it changed sort of in the last few years, or has it always been this way and we've just not noticed it before?
I think it's definitely getting faster and more physical, and I just think like we train a lot more in the gym and running and stuff like that, so I think it's kind of developing in that area. But I think when you watch a game live, it's definitely I think you realise the physicality a lot more than just watching it on television.
And it must be, for you on the pitch, you must have some sort of great battles, especially sort of yourself in the midcourt. It must be quite a fun physical encounter.
Yes, definitely, yeah. I think always a good tussle on the circle edge, and just trying to get the advantage using your speed when you drive through court is always fun.
And something we should have said earlier, but of course, congratulations on your selection for the tournament. How did it feel when you got the call saying you were selected?
Yeah, it was incredible. Wasn't expecting it at all, so it was really exciting and cool that I'm here with quite a few of my teammates.
And was it a case of, you said you weren't expecting it, so did you sort of have to keep it from family and friends for a few days, or did you manage to tell them before the news was made public?
Yeah, no, we were allowed to tell our family and friends, so that was exciting, or like close family, and then it got released the next day, so we didn't have to kind of keep it a secret for too long.
And you're sort of returning to the international fold after a few months away from it. How does it feel to be back playing with the Silver Ferns?
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's given me kind of a newfound appreciation for it, and I'm just really excited to kind of get out there and help my team as best as I can, and hopefully we can be successful.
And what, during that time away, sort of, if anything, changed most about sort of your perspective towards netball or the way you were training or anything like that?
I think I just kind of found my love for the game again. Kind of went away, had a bit more time in my personal life, and just really kind of found that this is what I wanted to do. I'm really passionate about it, and yeah, just I think having that break too was good. I've been going for a while now, and my body was getting tired, so it was good to refresh and come back.
And you spent some of that time actually working as a locum pharmacist. How different was that compared to sort of the day in, day out of training?
Yeah, it's always good. I work quite a bit during the season too, so I just kind of like to keep my mind a bit more active and kind of have a totally different side to just being a netballer. So, yeah, I really enjoy that side of it, and it's good that I get a bit of both.
And that break from netball, as you sort of previously alluded to, did it really sort of hit home during that, how much you actually loved the game and how much you wanted to come back?
Yeah, I think it probably took a few months. I was just kind of enjoying the break and, just really kind of gaining in my pharmacy life. But then I was really fresh and ready to get back into training and come back to my steel team and try and deliver for them.
And also you had a chance to, during that break, really enjoy your marriage as well. So congratulations on that. And I guess how great a time was that for you?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was amazing. I think it definitely allowed me a bit more time to focus on planning that and just enjoying that. I didn't have to rush away to any trains or things like that, so that made that a lot less stressful. And yeah, actually got to spend some time with my husband, which was quite nice.
And obviously, netball being a team sport, you get to really enjoy the camaraderie of teammates and coaches and support staff. But how nice is it to have such supportive loved ones during the good and the bad times?
Yes, yeah, it's very crucial. I think they're kind of the ones that keep you grounded and always there for you no matter what. So without them, it makes things very challenging.
And I hope you don't mind me sort of bringing this up, but this isn't the first sort of comeback you've had from a difficult time. Back in 2017, you were diagnosed with skin cancer. And how much, if you don't mind me asking, was sort of that a change of perspective on life as well?
Yeah, a wee bit. I think it's always at the back of your mind. I think it's obviously just changed what I do day to day, wearing lots more sunscreen. But yeah, I think you definitely don't take things for granted.
You've definitely come over to England at a slightly strange time because we're actually enjoying some warm weather as well. But
yes, it's so nice.
You were. It was a, sort of your sister was diagnosed with something slightly. Were fairly similar at the same time. So obviously it was tough for the family, but how much strength could you sort of draw from each other during that time period?
Like the ones I had are definitely not too serious, so I think I'm very lucky and just, yeah, I have to have regular checkups and all that. It's good to kind of have someone else to kind of talk to about it, and they understood, so that made it a bit easier.
And just 8 days, I think, after sort of your operation and having stitches put in to remove the first one, you were back playing netball on the court. I guess, did it ever cross your mind to take a rest, or were you just going to get straight back out there and do what you love?
Yeah, I just wanted to get straight back out there. I think I had 30 stitches on my head at the time, but it was fine, and I had all my teammates to support me, and yeah, it was all good.
And we mentioned about the power of loved ones previously, but I guess the power of sport must be so great to help ease through situations like that and give you something else to focus on.
Yeah, I think it's a great distraction and totally just take your mind off it. So, and keep you very busy, which is always good.
And going back to sort of New Zealand and the World Cup, you're coming into the tournament ranked fourth in the world, and a lot of the press are talking about Australia and England as the sort of two potential winners, but New Zealand have won the World Cup four or five times previously. You've won so many medals in the international stage, but perhaps just sort of coming in with slight underdog tag maybe play to your advantage.
Yeah, I think it's a great position to be in. It's always nice when you're the underdogs and you kind of go under the radar. And yeah, I think all the pressure's definitely on kind of like England, I suppose, they're here in the Commonwealth Games medalists. And yeah, I think we're in a great position to be in.
And you're coming off the back of sort of three consecutive silver medals at the World Cup and a fourth place at the Commonwealth Games. How much of a driver are sort of those near misses for you guys to actually go that one step further?
Yeah, I think we as a team just really want to prove ourselves and play really well for kind of ourselves, our family and also the nation. And yeah, I think we know we have the ability to do it and we're just excited to be able to put it out there on court.
And a few days ago, I don't know if you saw this, but Dame Lewis-Muir, sort of one of your country's greats, gave the team a really glowing review ahead of the tournament, especially based on your Cadbury series. How much of a confidence a boost is it when sort of people like that are making comments about you and your team?
Yeah, it's always really nice. I think we train super hard and we've been training really well, and it's been good to see people who are watching us externally kind of be like, yep, you guys are on the right track, you're doing the right things, and yeah, just to affirm that we're going the right direction.
And this tournament over here, obviously given the success of England at the Commonwealth Games, it's being seen as one of our two flagship events this summer alongside the Ashes. What's sort of the view of the tournament in New Zealand?
Yeah, I think everyone's excited. There's definitely a few World Cups going on at the moment, but I think it was good having that Cadbury series. It really kind of raised the profile and kind of got it in everyone's head that we were keen off to the World Cup, so I think that's been great timing.
And of course, we've also got the Men's Cricket World Cup in action at the moment. New Zealand at this moment in time playing in the semi-finals. How great has it sort of been to have so much New Zealand sport on the map recently across all areas?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And yeah, my uncle and auntie actually were coming over to watch the Cricket World Cup, so now they're popping over to the Netball World Cup too, so it actually works out really well.
And finally, just a couple of days away now from the tournament starting, for any fans who are out there thinking, you know, umming and ahhing about whether they should buy a ticket or watch on TV, what would your sort of message to them be?
Oh, definitely come along. I think there's such great variety in the types of people you'll see, and I think it's just hugely exciting and awesome to be a part of.
We could not agree more. Thank you so much for coming on, Shannon, and sharing your story, and we wish you and the team all the best for the tournament. Can't wait to see you.
Awesome, thank you so much.
Cheers, thank you. Huge thanks once again to Joe, Liz and Shannon for their time. I know I thoroughly enjoyed chatting to each of them and I hope you felt the same listening too. We wish them the best of luck for the upcoming tournament and cannot wait to see them and all the other nations in action live on Sky Sports and the BBC from the 12th to 21st of July. In the meantime, we at Sportsfuel have great plans coming up over the next few months and we'll be hoping to return to a fairly normal schedule soon, so make sure you don't go anywhere.